I think that people always think that if you're a growth stage company, you're going to spend most of your time in acquisition.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is true at HRS. And I mean, that might be because there's so much opportunity within client growth and within customer retention to grow our existing customer accounts. And so there's a lot of effort that's put into that content. But also, prospects care about the brand. You know, of course they care about the education and that content that helps them, but they also want to buy from someone who they understand and who they know and who kind of understands them. And so that comes back to like that branded content.
Welcome to the Show Me the Data podcast by Leadsyn, where every week we get marketing and sales leaders from fast-growing B2B tech companies to share specific tactics they use to drive revenue for their business. The best part, they share the exact metrics and data points behind each of their tactics. I'm your host, Tukan Das, the co-founder and CEO of Leadsyn. See you there.
Hello, everyone. This is Tukan from Leadsyn.com. My guest today is Elena Muller. Elena is the Senior Marketing Manager at Health Recovery Solutions. Welcome to the show, Elena.
Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. So before we get started on the topic of, you know, of content marketing and what you guys are doing, I'd love to understand what does, for the audience, what does Health Recovery Solutions do?
Yeah. So Health Recovery Solutions is a remote patient monitoring and telehealth company.
Nice.
We work with healthcare providers kind of across the industry. So think huge health systems to small home health agencies, physician groups, hospice organizations. And the goal really is to provide a product, a platform that can help patients engage in their own care so that they can improve their outcomes, but really stay out of the hospital.
Got it.
I mean, it all comes back to just improving patient engagement and keeping patients at home so they don't have to be admitted to the hospital where no one really wants to go.
Yeah. And did you notice then COVID as being a great accelerator for your business?
Yeah, the growth in the last year has been insane. Yeah. I started in 2018, and at that point, I think we were around like 50 employees. Now we're around 190.
Wow.
It's grown exponentially. Our client base has also grown exponentially. And also just the kind of use case for telehealth has grown, because it was really during COVID, people had to use telehealth. There was no option.
Yep.
You simply couldn't go to the hospital. So the use cases have really skyrocketed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I expected. So that's good to hear. One quick question for you, Elena, is in your role as a senior marketing manager, what are the primary responsibilities you have?
Yeah. So I work on the acquisition side. So pretty much everything I do is around driving new logo revenue. Of course, I support in other functions as well, like client marketing and branding and stuff like that. But pretty much all of my responsibilities fall under the umbrella of acquisition. So I run our editorial calendar, do a lot on the website, events, PR, communications, you know, all of those things that kind of are getting leads at the top of the funnel.
Got it. And do you do any paid media?
Yep, we do paid. We actually recently started doing paid. Well, I guess it depends what you would consider recently. Within the last year, it's been a really big channel for us. I don't run our paid media, thankfully, but there is someone on my team who does that. Yeah.
Cool. So now let's dive into the main discussion topic for today's episode. One of the things that you guys have been doing very well is coming up with a good content marketing strategy that's driving demand and brand awareness. So before we get into a specific campaign that we're going to talk about, just at a high level, how are you guys structuring your content marketing setup, like the editorial calendar?
Mm-hmm. So I start with breaking it into three buckets. You have the brand, you have acquisition, and then you have customer retention.
Okay.
So every piece of content that we put out falls into one of those buckets. And if it doesn't, then why are we putting it out in the first place?
Totally, yeah.
So building the HRS brand, that's really content that kind of sells our values, sets us apart in the space, tells our story, a lot of stuff around our culture and around our growth, and a lot of thought leadership kind of falls into that bucket. Content for acquisition is where I spend most of my time, which is the content that drives new revenue. To me, that's content that educates prospects. I mean, my school of thought is that all content should serve an educational purpose. Yeah. Otherwise, like, what is the purpose? So less sales pitches and more, how can we actually help these healthcare providers use telehealth in a meaningful way that actually fits into their existing workflows and lives?
Yeah.
So that could be content like white papers, infographics, blogs, webinars, videos. I mean, that runs the gamut. And then customer retention. So that's the content that once a customer signs with us, the content that is used to educate them further and help them drive success. So HRS has something called the HRS Academy, which is like a university basically for our customers, which is pretty much best practice use cases and kind of like mini, I don't know if you like TED Ed, but it reminds me of that kind of like small videos about how to best use our software to
success. Do you guys use any software for that kind of thing to host the university?
So HubSpot is what we use for pretty much everything. Our website's off HubSpot. So the HRS Academy is hosted through there.
Understood. Now, would you say you guys are spending equal amount of effort in creating content for all of those three buckets?
I'd say, yeah. I think that people always think that if you're a growth stage company, you're going to spend most of your time in acquisition.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is true at HRS. And I mean, that might be because there's so much opportunity within client growth and within customer retention to grow our existing customer accounts. And so there's a lot of effort that's put into that content, but also prospects care about the brand. You know, of course they care about the education and that content that helps them, but they also want to buy from someone who they understand and who they know and who kind of understands them. And so that comes back to like that branded content.
Got it. And would you say roughly that you'd publish at least one piece of content in each of these buckets every month? Is that how you're planning the calendar?
Yeah, it varies. We publish blogs anywhere from 1 to 3 times a week.
Oh, wow. A week.
Yeah. Our blog is an active place. It's a huge channel for SEO. And we've really seen a lot of success with the more blogs we post, the more traffic we see, and gotta post more blogs.
Yeah.
Webinars are a huge channel for us. We probably do, we work with other organizations on their webinars, but for our own sponsored webinars, those are probably twice a quarter that HRS hosts.
Okay.
And then like that longer form content once to twice a month is right.
Got it. Cool. So now let's talk specifically about this campaign that you guys ran and you saw a lot of success. It was called Hospitals for Home, correct?
Well, at home.
Hospitals at home. Sorry. So would love to understand what the campaign was and what was the primary objective of that campaign?
Cool. For your listeners, it might be helpful to understand like what the hospital at home even is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know that we have a lot of people who are not in healthcare. So basically, I mean, it all comes back to COVID, and that's what really skyrocketed the use of the hospital at home. The idea behind it is that people don't always need to go to the hospital to receive care. There's many cases where even when someone needs to be admitted, they can receive that same care safely and of the same quality in their own home. So COVID-19 is a fantastic example of a condition that can be treated in the home, depending on like the acuity of the case, but also conditions like pneumonia, different types of chronic diseases. They're perfect use cases for having people be treated in the home. And the idea is that you'd combine kind of like at-home visits from a physician or a nurse with remote monitoring, which is what we do. So that's how HRS fits in. Important to note. But back to your original question, the goal of the campaign is top of the funnel. For me, it was really to drive new leads, new MQLs, and also influence existing opportunities. So of course, our sales team and our client success team have been using all of the content that was created to like nurture their prospects and their opportunities and their customers. But for me, it was really about educating people who might be thinking about doing this model for the first time and just don't know where to start and kind of need that support.
Got it. And who were you targeting? It was the primary audience, physicians or clinics?
It was hospitals and health systems.
Hospital and health systems. Got it. Yeah. Of certain size or doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, you ideally want an organization that has the budget and the bandwidth to do something like this. There's mm-hmm. a lot of logistics that go into hospital at home programs. So we are looking at those, not probably not like community hospitals, a little bit bigger than that. The ones that you or I would know, you would see the sign and be like, that's the health system in my community.
Got it. Now you have defined your goal. It's to drive top of the funnel leads, MQLs, or influence existing opportunities. Do you create, is it an ever going campaign, ever green campaign? Meaning, is it always running or is it only for a short period of time? How do you guys structure that?
So there's a few things that are evergreen, like the white paper and the infographic. Those will be on our website for a very long time. Our hospital at home page will be on the website for a very long time. I don't see this content kind of going stale. People are still downloading it every day. But then there were things like social media posts, of course, that were kind of just one point in time. We did a webinar. That was one point in time. People are downloading the recording still, but that saw more bang for its buck early on than, say, the white paper and the infographic and case studies and stuff that people are still accessing to this day.
Understood. So how many unique pieces of content was created for this campaign?
Oh, gosh. So we had the white paper, an infographic, a webinar, 3 case studies with existing clients, patient stories. And then we also promoted a lot of thought leadership that isn't penned by HRS. So like research studies and case studies from other organizations that kind of really showed the efficacy of the model.
Got it. And were you guys sponsoring those studies or they were just done independently?
Independently.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, I didn't share anything that was like another vendor, but there have been a lot of research studies in the last, even before COVID, that really showed kind of the efficacy of the hospital at home. And yeah. I think it's really important to, I like to think that people just want to hear from HRS, but I think it really helps to have other trusted, incredible sources talking about the same thing, right?
Yeah, I guess that's why analysts exist, like that whole segment. Very good. So now that you have these content pieces, how did you go about distributing it? What were the channels? What was the strategy there?
Yeah, so the month-long campaign, actually, let me take a few steps back. Everything lived on one webpage on our website.
Yeah.
So kind of like a hospital at home resource library, if you will. Mm-hmm. Our website is one of our most successful channels, and I'm really proud of that. That's we awesome. Also used LinkedIn, Google paid search, Twitter, Facebook. I don't think we did anything on Instagram for this one. The webinar was big. And then we did an email campaign to prospects and customers as well throughout the month.
Got it. And the whole goal was you were driving them to one of the content pieces within this campaign resource page that you had created.
Exactly. Yep.
Got it. Were there any one particular channel that worked better than the others?
That's an interesting question. And I was looking at the data before the call just to refresh myself. And it really depended on the type of content. So I want to check my notes to make sure I get this right. The case study, so paid search worked really well with the white paper. We got the most downloads via paid search on the white paper, but paid social worked really well for the webinar and for the patient story. So it was really interesting to see that I think you kind of expect that like one channel is going to be the most successful, but we really saw that depending on what the content was, success was different by channel. LinkedIn, the patient story and the infographic did really well. So to me, that means that people on LinkedIn want to see the emotional stories that they can resonate with. And then for educational content, they want stuff that's short and sweet, as opposed to the long white paper that was more downloaded kind of organically by people who ended up on our website through search.
Got it. And I should have asked this question. When you launched this campaign, were all the pieces of content created ahead of time or did you do it one by like iteratively?
They were all thankfully created ahead of time. they were done a week ahead of time. And then we used monday.com for like just tracking of all of the different aspects of the campaign, from social and email and website and paid and, you know, all of the different things that we're contributing.
Got it. And was it predominantly run by marketing, this whole campaign, or did you involve the sales team in any of the promotion? Or
yeah, we did involve our BDR team, our business development representative. So they did promotion for the webinar. They were promoting the different content pieces, but it really was mostly on the backs of marketing. We use our sales team and client success for support, but it's not their KPI or like their main focus to drive a marketing campaign. So we do try to work cross-functionally with them, but it was mostly marketing driven.
Amazing. So now, one thing I remember you mentioned that email was a channel that you found was a challenging channel to break through just because of the clutter and so many people vying for the same spot. What do you mean by that?
I think email in general is a challenging channel. Even for this campaign, yes, but just generally in B2B healthcare, it's really hard to get into people's inboxes. So it's just so key to build a really good list of subscribers. But I mean, as you just said, it's a cluttered area. So if you're going to be emailing, you have to be sure that you're emailing people what they want to be reading. And I think that can be a challenge. You have to be really persona and vertical segment driven and totally understand what people want and when they want it. And I think email is just a tricky, it's a tough, tough channel. I don't know if B2C would say the same thing, but
for B2B,
I think there's better ways to get in front of people than email today.
Fair enough. Cool. So now let's talk a little bit about some of the specific data points. So your goal is to drive MQLs, top of the funnel leads. Can you walk us through some of the numbers, some of the metrics that you guys saw with that?
Yeah. So starting at influence opportunities, we're around 2 million in annual contract value influence, which is really big. That's exciting for us.
And if I may ask you one thing, Alina, is when you say influenced opportunities, I know everyone has a slightly different definition. How would you define influenced opportunities?
So to me, that means they engaged in the campaign in some way. So they downloaded the white paper, they downloaded the infographic, they attended the webinar, they did something around the campaign that shows that they saw this and it could have influenced kind of them signing the contract or whatever. The white paper was gated on our website. It's been downloaded, I think, 70 to 80 times last I checked, which was last week, so probably more than that actually now. And we did something new with the white paper, which was we kind of tried to do like a pillar page like format for the white paper. So half of the white paper was not gated, kind of the like first probably four pages of it. And so I think the page itself has had like 500 views. So the conversion is okay if you think about the view to download.
Yeah, it's like 15%. Yeah, that's very high.
Yeah, and the infographic was not gated, and that page has been viewed like 200 to 250 times.
And what about the webinar? Did you get a lot of registrants for the webinar?
So the webinar had 150 registrants, I wanna say. People loved it. I mean, I've never seen such good feedback. And I think the reason for that is it was a case study webinar. There was like no sales pitch at all in the entire webinar. We just had one of our VPs kind of just talk with one of our clients who has a hospital at home program. And so people were just like, that's what they want. They want the education. They know what the product is.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's especially a customer telling how they implemented a solution and what results they're seeing. That's the best kind of content.
Exactly. Because people can replicate it. And that's what's most important, you know?
Amazing. So in total, how many MQLs did you generate, Alina?
I think the MQLs generated was around, I want to say 80. But again, this could be a conversation for a whole nother podcast. My school of thought on MQLs changes every day, I think, especially because lead scoring changes every day. So I care more about downloads and the influence of opportunities 100%. As I do like the MQL conversion.
You're right, because I should change my question, because you had obviously more than 80 people download. You got more than 80, but 80 were what you were defining an MQL based on some kind of a scoring.
Right.
Got it. And in terms of a process internally, Elena, after someone downloads a piece of content, is it being handed over to the BDRs to basically like follow up with them, or is it sales, not marketing, nurtures them? What's the process you guys follow?
It depends on how much content they've downloaded, because lead scoring compounds. So like one white paper download does not necessarily constitute a convert or transferring it over to the BDR team.
I see.
They have to reach a certain score. I don't think that anyone who downloads a white paper for the first time wants to hear from a business development representative. That, to me, that is not buyer intent. And BDR should be reaching out to people with buyer intent.
Got it. Got it. This is great. Thank you so much, Elena, for these specific tactics, data points, and metrics. One thing I should have asked is, so you set out with a goal of certain number of leads and MQLs. Do you guys hit that metric, or, you know, what was that?
I think I'd say we hit our goals. I'm super happy with the success of the campaign, and I think we are going to replicate it in months to come. I think it really showed that people want to engage with content over time, and they want to see content in different ways. So like me, for example, I want to listen to a podcast to get my news, whereas a lot of my friends, they want to read an article or watch the news. So I think reusing content is something that like this campaign really showed is super valuable, and it works, that people want to engage in content in different ways. And so you need to provide it to them in those different ways.
And all the content pieces that you guys created for it, were some of these content previously generated, or were they all created new for this campaign?
The case studies had been previously created in the last month or two. And the patient stories, the white paper and the infographic and the webinar were all net new for this campaign.
Amazing. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your insights and all the data points. I definitely learned quite a few things. I'm pretty sure our audience would find a ton of value from this. Thanks a lot, Elena.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.